Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
The feeding of the 5,000. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the written testimonies of those who are either witnesses of what Jesus did or were directly acquainted with the witnesses of what they did. And they tell us that in these written testimonies. And they differ one account from another, but not in a way that contradict. They complement one another and confirm one another, and those witnesses, they are collaborative. In other words, if you want the whole story, you pull all of the accounts together and look at them together, and you get the whole story from those witnesses. And they testify to the miracles of Jesus. But except for the resurrection, the feeding of the 5,000 is the one miracle to which all four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, provide their testimony. And we're going to pull those stories together this morning and look what happens. What was Jesus doing going out into the desert, into a deserted place? And there were several things that came together at this point in the life of Jesus on this earth. One is, He had sent His apostles out to do some preaching. And they had come back together and they were reporting to Jesus the things which they had seen and which they had taught. And it was time for them to take a rest. And so Jesus said to come ye yourselves apart into a desert place to rest a while. Something else had occurred. John the Baptist had just been put to death. And Herod had put John to death. Now he was afraid of John. It says in Mark 6 and verse 20, Herod feared John. He knew John was a prophet. And Herod's conscience was bothering him. And when he heard that Jesus was performing miracles, Herod the tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said to himself, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. And therefore the mighty works do show themselves in him. And it says in another place that Herod desired to see him. So now the apostles had come back and with John put to death, Herod was out looking for Jesus. And the disciples of John came and told Jesus these things. And so they were there with the disciples of Jesus. The disciples of John are all now disciples of Jesus. And there's something else that was going on. There were many coming and going, so they had no leisure so much to eat. You see, the people were now flocking to Jesus. And that's what Herod had been afraid of, not of Jesus himself. But one of the reasons Herod was afraid to put John to death is because he knew that the Jews were wanting to revolt. And they were looking for a reason to raise rebellion against him and against the Roman powers that were supporting him in his throne. And so he feared the multitude. And now the multitudes were gathered. John had been put to death, which was offensive unto them. There was this Jesus performing signs and wonders, and they were flocking to him. And the disciples of John had merged there, and his own disciples had come back from preaching, and there was a great multitude around Jesus, and it was all set for a rebellion of the Jews against the Roman authorities. That was not what Jesus had come to do. And so Jesus had reason to depart. One for safety, to get away from Herod. One for rest, because the apostles were weary. And one to avoid this kind of a rebellion taking place with him being wrapped up in the center of it. Because Jesus did not come to establish an earthly kingdom. He came to establish a spiritual kingdom. And this popularity of Jesus, to where the multitudes were flocking to him in Galilee, puts the lie to the premillennial theory that Jesus came to earth to establish an earthly kingdom, but because he was rejected by the Jews, what he did, he just established his church and said, I'll come back and establish my earthly kingdom next time. Jesus had wanted to establish an earthly kingdom. He had an opportunity to do so now. The people were ready for it, and they were flocking to him for that purpose. But he never intended to establish an earthly kingdom, and he never will. Because the prophecies about the kingdom Jesus came to establish, we're talking about his spiritual kingdom. And when he had his chance for the earthly kingdom, he departed to go to a deserted place. So, when he left and came to that deserted place, they saw him leave and they followed the ship. As the ship would sail along the coast, the people were following the ship. And when he came to the place intended to be deserted, there were 5,000 men waiting for him. And that is not all. There were also the women and the children. Now that impresses me. Those women took their children out of the villages and walked along the shore to try to stay ahead of the ship so they could be wherever it was that Jesus would be, and came out to this deserted place with their children because those mamas wanted their children to know about Jesus. Now there's a lot they didn't know and a lot they needed to learn, but thank God for those mothers who want their children to know about Jesus. And I thank God for the mothers here that bring their children to Sunday school and to worship, and are sitting, those children sitting next to their mothers right now. And they're mothers that want their children to learn about Jesus. Thank God for those mothers. You're like these mothers that went out there. Listen, they went out and it was so important, and they were so anxious for their children to know about Jesus. They went out, they didn't even have anything to eat. They just went and said, okay, meals come second, this comes first. And they were there with their children to learn about Jesus. Now, we're going to learn something about our Lord. I don't know about you, but have you ever been tired and you thought, okay, I've got a chance to rest, and then someone shows up. Or you lay down, the phone rings, and somebody's selling you something, you know. And so you're tired, you're weary, you want to get away, and you get away. What if you said, oh, now I got a chance to rest, and you go out the backyard and 5,000 people waiting on you. You know, you think, well, all right, get them away from here. I am tired, you know, or turn and avoid. I'll go out the front door and avoid them. But Jesus loved these people. And in Luke 9:11, it says he received them. And that's kind of a weak word for what that word really means. It means he welcomed them. He was glad to see them, though weary. In Matthew 14:14, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. That's not just a feeling. That's a feeling that causes something inwardly in you to move. You can just feel it deep inside. He moved with compassion toward them. Mark 6:34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Now Luke tells us what he taught. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and he spake unto them of the kingdom of God. That's what they wanted. That's why they were looking for him. Will he restore Israel now? Is he going to set up his kingdom? And we want to be part of that. And they didn't understand about the kingdom. And so he explains it to them. It is a spiritual kingdom. It must have been like those Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so he taught them about the kingdom. And they came out there with a great hunger. And before they had a physical hunger, they had a personal hunger. And they had a spiritual hunger. And he filled their spirit with his teachings. Jesus had said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And in those Beatitudes, he said, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they shall be filled." And so they had empty stomachs. But first, he knew they had empty souls and empty spirits. And they were there for the reason to hear the words from Jesus. And so he taught them. And then he healed them that had need of healing. Someone had helped those sick get out there into this deserted place to find Jesus. You can imagine the healthy men going out there ready to raise rebellion against Rome. But the mothers with their children and those who were sick and afflicted came. And he healed them. And then they were hungry. And the evening was coming on. And the apostles actually said something to Jesus about it. We got to send these people away to find food. John tells us in John 6, verse 5 through 10, "When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, Which shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he said this to prove him." He wanted to teach Philip a lesson here and to test his soul. "For he said, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." Now, a penny, remember, was a day's wages. You'd have to work 200 days to make enough money to feed this many folks. And so that was going to be a good sum of money for them. They didn't live in the luxuries we lived in. And that was just to give them a little. I guess one of the lessons that Philip learns here is money's not the answer to everything. He was thinking about how that with physical means he could provide for these kind of people. And maybe did a quick calculation in his head. But money helps a lot of things. But money's not the answer to everything. And then here it goes. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, "There is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" One little boy carried his lunch with him. Now, these were not 5 loaves of Wonder Bread, okay? These loaves would have been a... something like the things we take for the Lord's Supper before we break them apart. Like a big cracker. And they're made out of barley. That is the lower grain. Wheat being the better grain. This is the poor man's grain, the barley. And so he had like 5 large crackers and 2 little fishes. That'd be kind of like sardines. Okay? And 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. Now, that might be enough to take care of a hungry little boy. What could that do among so many? And sometimes don't we feel that way? Here we're supposed to take the gospel to all the world and we think of all our limitations. Why are there just so few? Our budget's so tight. We just got such... our talents are so small. And we're so insignificant. How can this be effective among so many? But one thing that the Lord teaches us over and over, He loves to take the little things and do great things with them. When you get to feeling like you're too little to do anything very much for the Lord, you're just about right for the picking. Because that's the heart the Lord wants to do great things with. And the glory then will go to God and not to man. And so what are they among so many? Well, he told them, make them sit down. And it says there is much grass in the place. So the men sat down and number about 5,000. Did you see that reference to the grass? Now that just kind of looks like that's in passing. But everybody seems to notice the grass. Matthew 14:19. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. In Mark 6:39 through 40. He commanded them to all sit down in companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. And then John 6:10, there was much grass in that place. Much green grass. And I bet I've read that a dozen times, just kind of brought over the grass and doesn't think much about the grass. But this is one of those things that teach us that these stories are real. These are not fabricated. And these little incidental things that sometimes we think they're just in there incidental, they're in there for reasons. You see, John 6 and verse 4 tells us, just before this event, that the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. The Passover came in the springtime of the year. After the winter rains had fallen and the ground would have been saturated, and then it begins to warm, and that's when that abundance of grass would grow, even in the desolate places. And they mention that grass. And that's the kind of thing that happens in that area at that time of year. There is much green grass. They tell this as though that's a real tale. And it looks incidental, but it's one of those things that confirm the reality of these stories and the genuineness and authenticity of these accounts. Even in these incidentals, they all fit. And so, Jesus took those 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. He lifts his eyes toward heaven and he blesses them. That doesn't mean he made the loaves taste better or the fishes be better. He thanked God for them. John 6:11, Jesus took the loaves when he had given thanks. He distributed it to his disciples. That's what we do when we bless the food that we're about to eat. We're giving thanks for that food. But when I grow up, we called it, who's going to say the blessing? And that's when we would thank God for the food. And that's what Jesus is doing here. And then he distributed it to the disciples. And the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. You ever gone out to the restaurant on Friday night and there's all the fish you could eat, and don't you just eat too much when you have that? This was one of these all-you-could-eat specials, all right? And they ate as much as they would. And Philip, he was thinking, what, 200 penny worth? Just give them all a little. He was just thinking, give them all just a little. And Jesus gave them as much as they would. And when they were filled, now that's how much they ate. He said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. That is astounding. Do you have a hunger? Are you hurting? A personal need and the empty spot and a concern and a worry? Jesus can feel that. And He can do it over and above what you need. He knows your heart. He knows where you are spiritually. And He has compassion on you. And if we believe that He can fill us with bread and fish, He can satisfy that soul. We need to let Him do that. When life throws us a hard one and it is hard and we're hurting and we're longing and we have a soul hunger and a spiritual hunger, the thing for us to do is seek our Lord. Put Him first. Be faithful to His Word. Carry on in righteousness. You shall be filled. Over and above what you need. And those men, when they had seen this miracle Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. So all four of them testify to this. They saw what he did. A man just can't do this. There is no way to fake that miracle. And we've got the testimony of collaborative witnesses that saw this and tell us, even to the incidentals, it checks out. This Jesus is the Christ. And these things are written, John said, that ye might believe. We extend that invitation for all who are hungry and thirsting for righteousness in their soul to come to Jesus, to believe and repent and confess His name before men and be baptized by immersion as they did into Christ. Wise up and walk faithful to Him regardless of what happens in this life. Walk faithful to Him and you shall be filled.